Wow, when we were doing worship, Jen says to me, "Ooh, I like the South." I love the South. So we're north of the Mason-Dixon line. We're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So, but now we're much more south than you guys. So. Then I love the North, Jesus. Yeah. So it's just a pleasure to be with you guys. All right. Can we show the video real quick? If that's possible. We have a video that'll explain things a lot quicker than me up here, and then gives you some views of the city that we're in Colombia, Medellin. And so that would be... that'd be good and quick when it's okay. While we're getting that up on roll, I'll tell you something funny that happened. We are on a 5-month home mission assignment, I guess you'd call it, and we started in Florida about a month ago, and in Florida, so we said we're just going to rest and relax a little bit for four or five days. Oh, that's so awesome! We're in a hotel that had like a pool and a hot tub. So after like it was the second night, I get a phone call in the morning from a guy, and you know the hotel phones never ring in the morning. Nobody ever calls you. It's always calling zero, the operator. And so I got to call and say hello. And it's a guy on the other end. He goes, "Hey, is Jennifer there?" And I'm like, "Well, why?" She goes, "Well." He goes, "Well, I met her in the hot tub last night." I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be interesting." And then he goes, "You must be her husband." and he says. Next thing he says, "She told me things that nobody knew. Amen. I didn't tell anybody. And she started to read my mail and tell me the things that were happening deep in my heart. And I need to know more of this God that you guys serve." So we just pray for Donald. What a great guy. Okay, that was something funny. So let's take a look at this real quick. Medellin is becoming known worldwide for being a beautiful and innovative city. But there are two sides to Medellin. The city also suffers from extreme poverty, gang violence, drug addiction, displaced people groups, sexual tourism, and prostitution. Our story in Colombia started in 1995 when we were teaching English in Cartagena, Colombia. One night we saw a paper bag on the sidewalk in front of us. We were going to kick it out of our way, but when we got closer, we found that there was a small, unprotected child sleeping in it. We were totally shocked. Something was birthed in us that day, and we knew we needed to do something. 16 years later, in 2011, we moved to Colombia as missionaries with our three small children.
Over the past 7 years, we've been serving as directors of a children's center in Medellin, sharing the love of the Father with 220 at-risk children and their families.
During these 7 years, we've been blessed to train hundreds of local and international believers in practical missions, loving those who are least valued by society.
Now God is calling us through Psalm 91, verse 1, to start 911 Life, a Colombian nonprofit which will begin with two main programs. One is a bilingual full-time safe house to help at-risk single mothers and their children to get on their feet spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and economically. This will establish strong families and prevent children from being taken into the foster care system.
The other program is the International Training and Equipping Center, a mission school that will train and equip believers from around the world in practical missions, focusing on the presence of God and the impartation of His love.
Gracias, mi ser, y en la tormenta, proteges mi vida.
Our strategy is to impact lives through education and spiritual transformation, giving those we serve the tools needed to transform their lives and the lives of others.
Our goal for the first year is to receive 5 families in our safe house, doubling it to 10 in the second year. We have secured our first site with a loan, and we still need to remodel and furnish the building in order to provide excellent, high-quality service for both the families and the students in the mission school.
So we invite you to get involved with our vision, partner with us to help with the physical restoration of the building and repayment of the loan.
So these are the 2 Colombian families that have joined our family in this ministry to restore families and extend the kingdom of God. Everybody wave! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Medellin. That's how they say it down there. Yeah, it looks like Medellin. What is Medellin? Yeah, in Spanish is the ja. Yeah. And they say Medellin, which is just their little accent down there. What I want to talk about today is the single focus. There's just one focus that the Lord has given us, and it's Jesus. And let's take a look at Matthew 22, verses 34. I just lost my way here. 22:35. Let's look at Matthew 22:35. I'm going to read down to 39. And this is where Jesus is answering the question that we all have. What do you want from me, God? What do you want from me? And here one of the experts of the law questioned him. And they're probably questioning him to fool him. But we want to know, what do you want from me? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so this single focus has saved us time and time again. And I want to tell you, when we first were going down to Colombia, God put it on our hearts for children. All these poor kids, the street, dozens and dozens of street kids. If you guys know what's going on down there, there's the neighborhood we've been working in is famous for witchcraft, for prostitution, for drugs, extreme poverty, extreme abuse, any type of abuse that you can think is happening to these kids. And so when we 9 years ago, when we were getting ready to go, our focus were these kids. We're like, God, these poor kids. And that's good. It moved our hearts. We're so moved for these kids. And there's so much to do, Lord. And we just were crying for these kids. Crying out for these kids, Lord. And that's the compassion of Jesus. And then it was like our focus. We got to do something. And the Lord called us from 1995. And we said, somebody's got to do something. And that somebody happened to be us. And so as we were focusing on the kids and read a book by Lauren Cunningham, that God actually speaks. And we fasted for a whole day to hear him and hear his voice. Lord, where do you want us to go? Because we still didn't have a place to land in Colombia. We had no place to land because we had our plans, but they all fell through. And we're like, Lord, now what? But it's even more than ever the burden that we have to go. And so as we were just, Lord, where do you want us to go? We're just praying and fasting. And then we were actually in El Salvador visiting a YWAM ministry at that time. And for a whole day praying and praying, he's going to talk to us, and nothing. Nothing the whole day. He didn't say anything. But then the next day, we had to go to the airport because we were flying out. So we went to the airport, flew out, and we're in like Dallas International Airport. And Jen and I are walking in this airport from one terminal to another, and we literally walk into the voice of God. We just walk right. We stop dead in our tracks. He told us the same thing at the same time. He said, Tom, your focus has been on these kids. Wouldn't it be better placed on me? I'm going to ask Alex to come on up. I'm going to show you the vision that I saw. So when he said, wouldn't it be better focused on me? And I saw me like this with, well, our question was, where are we going to go? And that was like our, for these kids, and where are we going to go? But then Jesus gave me this vision. I'm around his waist like this in Dallas International Airport. And so I'm like this, and he says, wouldn't it be better to focus on me? Now move that way. And so now we go this way, and now come over here. And he says, if you're focused on me and you're tied to me, where I go, you go. You don't have to worry about where you're going to go. Your single focus is me. Your single focus is me. And so that has characterized our ministry and saved us so many times. Saved us from performance. What if my ministry doesn't go so well? What if, is that ministry your focus? No, it's Jesus. Amen. He is our focus. And the love of Jesus. We're called to love the ones in front of us.
Amen.
We're called to love the ones that were right in front of us. So when we got to Colombia, you guys don't know. I don't know if you know Colombians. They're amazing. These people are awesome. They speak the language better than us. They know the culture better than us. They can run an organization. And they dress better than us. They look better than us. I'm like, Lord, why did you send me here? These people are awesome. And he said, Tom, I sent you here to impart your missionary heart to everyone you meet and to impart the Father's love. Because they don't have that. They have all the fathers have left. And they need a missionary to show them what a missionary's heart is. And so he said, your single focus is love. Love. We just read in Matthew 22, our focus is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And how? What does that look like in the real world? And it is love that compels us like a consuming fire to go out there and do the things that Jesus did. And all Jesus did was he loved the one who was in front of him. It was his single focus from the Father to love the person right here. And that's all that he cared about. He was not inside. He was outside. He was going in the streets and looking for those. And he took risks, great risk. We don't think he did, but he did. He was a man like us, fully God, fully man. And so in our experiences, as we're loving the unlovely, because God has called us to the unlovely, to the people that nobody else really wants, the throwaway kids, the throwaway people, the ones in prostitution, the ones who are in drug addiction, who nobody else wants to waste their time with, the Lord said, love them. And in loving them, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. And you know what's funny? When you start to love people that the rest of the world is rejecting, you start to see the very image and treasure of God in them. And our job is just to call it out. Yeah. Just to call that out. And how does that work in this situation? When our focus is loving and it's just on Jesus, where we go, he goes. And where Jesus goes, the miraculous happens. And so we don't have to focus on all of the miraculous. It is just going to happen because why? Because where the Lord is, his fullness of life is abundance. And so he just is so gracious. So I guess you could say we're just missionaries by accident. We're just, all these things happen by accident. Why do they happen by accident? Well, it's because we're just held on. We're holding on to Jesus. And he's our focus. And when he goes into, all these things seem to happen. They just, all these amazing things just start to happen. And it's kind of like, wow, Lord, this is so cool. So we've been 7 years at this. And he's still outdoing himself. So at this place that we had been directors for 7 years, we had, it was a children's center. So they come during the day as a daycare, but not the daycare type of here. These are the mafia leaders, the gang leaders were taking care of their children. These are all of the down and outs. And so they send their kids because we give them food. And so we're receiving these kids in the morning. I'm receiving the kids in the morning, about 100, 150 kids. And this lady comes to the door. You got to know the neighborhood, the context where we're in. There are literally drug addicts strewn out over the street. You walk out the door and they could be to the right or to the left or across the street. A transvestite prostitute, what do you call it, brothel sort of thing is right across the street. And the drug addiction is, it takes the soul away. They're like the zombie, the walking dead. They are the walking dead. They're like zombies. And so they're strewn out. So anyway, this lady comes and she is all dirty. Her hair is disheveled. She stinks so horrible. There's a smell to the street people. It's a combination of a number of things. And her clothes are all messed up and she is just, she looked like she hasn't slept for days. And she comes in and she goes, does anybody have, can somebody pray for me? And that is like, that just blows my mind. Well, because they come for one thing, two things, one, food or money, right? And so she goes, I said, well, yeah, we can pray for you, sweetie. Well, what, so do you have kids here? She goes, no, I don't have kids here. I go, I haven't seen you before. No, you haven't seen me before. I said, what makes you think that there's prayer? I'm just curious. What makes you think there's prayer here? What, that you can receive prayer? And she started to say, well, my name is Consuelo, and I am sick and tired of my life. I am so drug addicted. I'm addicted to alcohol. I've ruined all of my relationships. I'm depressed and bipolar. I've got nothing to live for. And I woke up today, I was going to kill myself. And I went over there to the corner where the buses come by so fast and they just keep on coming by. And I was going to jump in front of one of these buses that are here. And right before I jumped, I just turned my head and I saw the door of this place. And there was this light just coming out of the door. And when I saw the light coming out of the door, I just knew that there was something for me there, that God was there. And here I am. I need prayer. Well, we're going to pray for you. And she started to list the list. If you're a deliverance minister, she started to list hundreds of demons. She said a list of, if you're a psychologist, the pathology list was like, I said, she started to list all this stuff, the bipolar, the voices, the physical ailments. She had all these physical problems, relationships, addiction. Every type of depression, whatever you can think of, I'm like, whoa. I said, stop. This is beyond my pay grade. I says, no more. She goes, I could go on. I said, don't. I don't want to hear anymore. Jesus already knows what you got, honey. We're just going to pray. We're just going to pray and put our trust in him. We prayed. She goes, a month later, I see her on the street. She's worse. I'm crossing here, and she's crossing here. And I bump into her, and I look at her. And she looks at me in the eye. She starts crying. She goes, Tom, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. It's so heavy on me. I go, sweetie, come here. I just hugged her. I go, I know, Consuelo. This is bigger than you and me. I started crying with her. I said, honey, we just got to agree together that Jesus is going to do something. And we just agreed together that day that he's going to do something. And then she left and I smelled just like her. I go to the office like, oh, my office stinks. I go to the street. Why does the street stink? It stinks. I go home. I go in the bedroom and Jen's there. I go, Jen, this, oh, it's me. It's me. You know, in the Old Testament, when you touched a unclean person, you became unclean. But Jesus did something different. He taught us a different way. When you touch an unclean person, it's them who become clean. And I just loved on her. I had no clue what Jesus is going to do. So a month later, I see her again. And she's coming down the little hill there. And she is clean. New clothes. She's got this little cart. A little cart selling coffee and gum and whatever. And she's just coming down the road. I'm looking, my mouth drops. I'm like, oh. And out of my mouth, I go, Consuelo. Extreme makeover! And she's like, yeah! She comes down and she hugs us and she says, what you guys did for me. I said, no, Consuelo. This is pure Jesus. Jesus did this for you. And she starts to list off, my relationships are all healed up with my mom, with my daughter. I've got healed of this and that. And my heart problem is gone. And my legs and diabetes are gone. And my depression is gone. I'm no longer bipolar. I'm off of all of my addictions. And she just goes on and on, the whole list. And she says, now I'm the one who's encouraging all the other street vendors out there. And I'm making their day. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes you just got to look past all the other stuff that's around the people. Jesus said he made us in his image. And that includes us. That's like everybody. And there's treasures in there. And we're distracted by the offense. We're distracted by the offense. When they offend us, we're distracted by this walking dead person. And you just, and you know, I'll tell you what I see in their eyes. First thing I see are all the demons. I see all these, but there's something deeper. There's something, don't look on the surface and don't get scared away and run away. You just got to get past all of that. Say, no, that there's something else in here. You're made in the image of God and there's something in there. There's treasure inside of you. And it's you who have to call it out because nobody else will. And unless you see with the eyes of love, you'll never, ever see it and never be able to call it out as somebody. It's the eyes of love that have to call that out and see that treasure and bring it out of people. Every time I minister, I'm talking and people just want to cry. They just want to weep or they start to tremble. This is Holy Spirit. And when that happens, it's not to frenar. It's not to stop the Holy. It's a more. I want more of what you're doing. If you're touching me, Lord, I want more of you. I want you to touch me more and deeper. I don't care what it looks like. I gave my reputation away a long time ago. I said, God, do whatever you want of me, and I don't care what it looks like. And so if the Lord is moving in you, at any time, you just say, more, God. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. Move more of me. There's another time I was out there in the morning. I was out there in the morning, and there's this transvestite. This transvestite guy, and he's at the door where the kids are coming in. And I'm looking like, what is this guy doing here? He's just hanging around, you know, what's going on? So I go up to him. I said, hey, how's it going? He goes, oh, just fine, thank you. And he's got his mannerisms. And I say, oh, is this, so do you have a kid here? He goes, oh, no, I don't have a kid here. Have you been here before? Oh, no, I just kind of walked by, but yeah. I'm here. I said, so can I help you? Oh, no, it's okay. And I said, well, what are you doing here? And he goes, I don't know. There's just like this positive energy here. I just feel good. I just like this place. There's something that I like here. I go, really? I said, what is your name? He goes, well, my name's Maria of the neighborhood. I go, really? I said, well, what did your parents name you? He said, well, my parents named me Norman. I go, okay, Norman, can I call you by, is that okay if I can call you Norman? Sure, you can call me Norman. Okay. I said, okay, Norman. So there's, I said, well, I got an idea, Norman. We have a ladies' Bible study on Fridays. And if you like the positive energy, the ladies' Bible study is on the inside. And you can get more of that. He goes, really? I would just love that. I would just love that. I said, okay, great. Well, come on, friend. So Norman starts to come to our ladies' Bible study. And we don't talk to Norman about anything. We're just loving on Norman. He comes in and I'm struggling for what to say to Norman. How's he talk, walking by my office? Norman, how's it going? I was like, wow, that's a beautiful dress. I said, that is your color. That is your color dress, Norman. And he goes, oh, this little thing, that's all I can find. And he goes. And then another day, I was like, Norman, those are very cute sandals with those little diamonds. He goes, oh, yeah, thank you. And he comes in. And one day he comes in late. Norman comes in late to the Bible study. And he comes in late, and he says, oh, you guys thought I wasn't going to come, did you? He said, let me tell you what happened. I wasn't going to come because I was in my slum housing surrounded by black demons. They would not let me out of my slum housing. And I just wanted to get drunk. I was just there. I couldn't get up. But all of a sudden, there's this white hand that comes from the street through my door and grabs me here, pulls me out of my house, drags me down the street, and brings me right here to this door of where you guys are. And I don't know, but every time you open the Bible and you start reading the Bible, there's something that I need. There's something in there that I want, and I just need it. Well, I don't know what it is. I say, well, Norman, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Do you want Jesus? I said, yes, I want Jesus. And then something happened that messes with my theology a little bit. Norman first receives Jesus. And he just says, receives Jesus in his heart. And then he starts to repent. He receives Jesus in his heart. And he goes, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then he goes, oh, I feel so dirty in these clothes. Oh, I feel so dirty. You have men's clothes here that you can give me because I don't like these clothes. I feel so dirty. I say, yes, Norman, we have these clothes for you. And we put on clothes for him. And he's never taken the men clothes off. He's never gone back. His identity changed when Jesus came in his heart. His identity changed. If the musicians could come on up and accompany me in the last, I'm going to do like an altar call and give one more story of Jesus coming to change lives. It is him. We sent a team to an orphanage that serves young sex trafficked women under 18. These are girls, 12, 13, 14, 16 years old. We sent a team there to minister. And they're ministering. This is all of the government. The government is government run. But they somehow, there's a grace to get in there. And somehow they're in there. And the ministry's going on up here, but in the back of the room, there's two girls, one on the right side and one on the left side, that are not paying attention to anything that is going on. And one is just crying. Just crying. I said, why are you crying, sweetie? She goes, this home is just for 12 months. So what they do, the government, they bring us in here, and within 12 months, they find our families. Because we've been taken off the street. They do the search to find it. And everybody gets a family. But it's been over 12 months and I don't have a family. They can't find my mom. They can't find my dad. They can't find anybody. And so she is just disconnected over there. Another one's disconnected over here. And the ministry is going on. And they can't really. They're just on opposite ends of the room. And the one over here starts to stare at the wall. And she gets up. She goes, oh, what is that? What is that? What is that? She starts freaking out at the wall. At the wall. And they go, well, what do you see? And she says, there's a, I see a man with a white robe and he's got a beard and the robe is just shining and he's so kind. He's so beautiful. He's so lovely, but I'm scared because there's just something about him that's so pure. I said, it's Jesus. You're having a vision of Jesus. And unbeknownst to this one, the one over here who can't hear or see what's going on sees the same thing. She says, what is that? Who is that? It's Jesus. Apart from each other, they're seeing the same Jesus. And then they ask her, what's going on? What's he doing? He goes, he's looking at me. He's looking at me. Now what is he doing? He's blowing me kisses.
Yay.
He's blowing me kisses. Amen. He's blowing me kisses. And they go, can we go see him? So the missionary comes and we get him in the middle of the room. The middle of the back of the room. I'll take you to Jesus. So they said, Jesus just walked right out of the wall. Oh, well, that's just like him. That's just like him. And he walks out of the wall, and they come to the feet of Jesus. And these two girls just start weeping and wailing at the feet of Jesus. They start weeping and wailing. Another one's like, I don't see him. Where is he? She's right here. So you have these girls that are so dry for love that don't see Jesus but are doing this. They want a hug so bad from Jesus, they just hug in the air. And one of them says, why don't I see him? Is there something wrong with me? Why I don't see him? And they start talking to her about Jesus. He says, well, we don't know. We don't see him either. And so this girl who said she didn't see him all of a sudden remembers a dream she had a year ago. She goes, well, I had this strange dream where there was a man in a white robe that was brilliant. And he was so kind and beautiful. And he appeared to me in the dream. He was beckoning me to come. I said, do you know who that is? No, I don't know. I have any idea who that man is, she says. And the missionary explained, that is Jesus. Let's just stand up for a moment because we're going to receive it. That is Jesus. And what's the point of the story? There's people having visions and encounters with Jesus. They don't even know who he is. Why? Because there's nobody to explain the vision. There's nobody to explain who this Jesus is. There's nobody to guide them and say, hey, this is Jesus. Jesus is doing his job. Are we doing our job? Are we going when he says go? There are people with a calling in this room. And it's just fear that's holding you back. Because you're afraid you jump off this cliff that nobody's going to catch you. But what you don't see, when you jump off, God jumps off behind you. And he grabs you. He catches you. But he's going to watch you jump off first. It's called faith. I want those who have a call for missions, I'd like you to come on up. Because I want to pray for you. Those who have a call for the unlovely, the throwaways. Just put your hands out like this, everybody. Just put your hands out like this. Just put your hands out like this. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Jen, come on up. Pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in these steps. We stood forward in meetings like this. Look what God has done. I didn't study seminary. I was an IT guy. I didn't study seminary. I focused and studied Jesus. And he just does. He doesn't. He qualifies the called. He's not going to call always the qualified. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask for a release of the missionary heart right now in everybody here. Right now, in Jesus' name, a release of the missionary heart, a release of your love. Your love that is a consuming fire. Your love that knows no sacrifice. Your love that just sees the separation between the loved and the lover. So the difficulties and the offenses aren't difficulties. They're just valleys in separation between the beloved. And as we run after Jesus, the beloved, he runs after us. I just impart the love of the Father in every heart here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit.